Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the Leo Alves podcast. And in today's podcast episode, I'm going to basically explain why I took a mini hiatus from the podcast, as well as update you on my own training and nutrition approach for the foreseeable future, as well as a Q&A. Anyway, just to get stuck in to today's podcast episode. So why did I take a mini hiatus from the podcast? So as you all know, as I already said, I've only published one podcast episode in the past 7 weeks, which is very low for me. Relatively speaking, like, I am usually a lot more consistent with that. And in fact, I think for the better part of 2023, I had been releasing one podcast episode every 5 days on average until that point. Now, the reason why is because I just wanted to go all in on the YouTube channel, make that my biggest priority for a while, especially because I had my girlfriend temporarily living with me for the last 2.5 months. And I just wanted to like make the most of that, because having an extra person there made recording YouTube videos so much easier, because it's so much easier for someone else to set up the camera for you, give you feedback, look at the lighting, etc., etc. Whereas podcast episodes, they're very easy to do alone. Anyway, she's now left. We haven't split up. She's just left. As I said, she was just living with me temporarily. We do plan to move in together permanently soon, but now she's left. I plan to go hard on the podcast again. But anyway, if you do want to check out my YouTube videos, then I'll leave the link to the YouTube channel in the show notes of this podcast episode. So make sure you do check that out, because I have made, I think, about 25 YouTube videos over the past 2.5-3 months covering a variety of subjects. And if you haven't seen any yet, then definitely do check them out. So to get stuck into my training and nutrition approach for the foreseeable future, it's going to have a little bit of a mix up. So from now until like mid-July, I plan to train jiu-jitsu as consistently as I possibly can. Just go every single day when it's on, go every single day. Before, I was averaging about 3 times weekly, 1 hour sessions each time. Now I want to see if I can go like 5 times weekly, 1.5 hour, 2 hour sessions each time, which is obviously going to take a big toll on my body, which also brings me on to the next subject, that I really have to start regulating my training approach more at the gym. And I think I'm going to start only training about 2 times a week, at most 3 times a week, if I haven't trained jiu-jitsu that much within the particular week, maybe because it wasn't on, or like just variables that were outside of my control that meant I couldn't go to jiu-jitsu. So yeah, 2 times a week on average, I predict. And that's going to be like the least I've ever trained consistently since starting at the gym. So it's a bit weird for me, but I know it's a mandatory next step, because I've had overuse injuries before. And if I'm exercising 6-7 days a week, then, you know, I do have to really be smart on the gym side of things and just like manage my volume there. Because again, overuse injuries aren't nice. They can be a hassle. And if you get them, they can take a while to go, especially if you don't manage them well. So I'll just avoid them now. Go to the gym on average 2x a week, doing full body workouts, of course, and, you know, continue to progressively overload there. Really make sure the intensity of my sets are there, progressively overloading and just, you know, taking things at failure, close to failure, because again, I'm only doing 2 sessions a week. So I do need to make sure that when I'm at the gym, I need to give it my all. And I guess that's something that you can take away from that as well, if maybe you're working out only 1 or 2x a week. And I say only, maybe relatively for you, it could be a lot, but still, if you're going 1 or 2x a week, you do want to make sure that you are very mentally present as you're doing those workouts. But yeah, I am very excited to keep progressing tremendously at jiu-jitsu, because, you know, I'm still a white belt, no stripes, very early days for me still. I only started in mid-February, so at the time of recording this, I've been going for about 3.5 months. So yeah, I'm just excited to keep progressing there. I want to go all in on that, as you can tell, which is why, you know, that's my primary focus. Go all in on that, you know, get promotions where I can and just keep giving it my best. In July, I am going to spend the month of July, pretty much the entire month, not the whole month, but the majority of it in London. So there I'm going to not really be able to train jiu-jitsu, or if I can, it will be very infrequently, because I'm going to be on the move a lot. In England, I should say, I'm not just going to be in London. In England, I'm going to be on the move quite a bit. So that's partly why I want to go very hard on jiu-jitsu before I go to England. And then when I get back from England as well, I'll continue to go hard on jiu-jitsu, because as I said, it is the biggest priority for the foreseeable future. And then onto the nutrition side of things. While my girlfriend was here with me, I probably tracked calories like 1 or 2 days a week. The rest of it was just like intuitive eating, more so, you could say. And, you know, I've tracked calories for years now within many years ago, and so I've got a very good awareness about around how much I'm eating, what I'm eating, you know, portions, etc. So that was kind of my nutrition approach. I was making a conscious effort to be about maintenance some days, more often a slight calorie surplus I was aiming for, just because, again, I am very physically active, especially with the jiu-jitsu, and because I do often have a high step count, not every day, but the most days I do. So I wanted to eat for that as well, just because, as you may or may not know, I was in a calorie deficit for like August to December last year. And eventually you do really start to feel that. And because I've got other goals now, I wanted to be around maintenance, slight calorie surplus, which I'm going to continue to do again, even though she's gone for now. And let's just see how that goes. I'm going to go back to tracking calories consistently again, just to, for that, like, I guess you could say, like, calibration, quote unquote. And while I'm, you know, living alone, I can be more strict, and it's okay because I'm fine with that. And I can be more, maybe not strict is the right word, but like just more precise with my goals, because of course, the more precision you have, the faster you are going to make progress. And that's a fact. So I'm okay with that while I'm living alone. But when, you know, if I'm with other people like friends and family, then I'm always more, I'm happy just to be more lenient on the nutrition side of things, because I am at a point in my life where I certainly can be. Anyway, let me get stuck into the Q&A for you, because I feel like I've spoken about myself enough now. So yeah, let's just get stuck in. So the first question, how often would you say to switch routines? Every 8 weeks. And this is exactly how it was phrased to me. So every 8 weeks, question mark. So, you know, maybe that person is assuming 8 weeks is a good timeline. And when they say switch routines, I know that that person specifically means like a weight training routine at the gym. And 8 weeks is about a good aim. Now, there isn't like any hard rules for every time you should switch up your workout plan. Like, it doesn't have to be every 4 weeks or every 6 weeks or every 8 weeks or every 10 weeks. I would say it depends on a few factors. Number one, how well are you still progressing at the workout plan? Like, are you still progressing very well in it? If you're progressing very well, then there's probably no need to change anything. Number two, enjoyment. Are you enjoying the workout plan still? Because if it sucks and you're starting to find every single session boring, then that's probably a sign it's time to change things. Or if you're really enjoying it, maybe you could still continue, because obviously enjoyment will always help with progression. Like, not always, but it does help with progression, because sometimes I feel like sometimes you can focus too much on enjoyment and start doing workouts that maybe aren't effective. So there is a fine line there. Other factors that you could potentially think about is, sometimes it might not even be a case of switching up an entire workout plan. Sometimes it might just be a case of switching up one or two or even three exercises within the plan that you might be struggling with. Because maybe you're progressing at like 90, 85% of exercises, but there's like these two or three exercises that you're just having a really hard time to progress, or you find quite uncomfortable. And maybe it could just be a case of swapping those out for something else. So those are a few things to think about. I do think 4 weeks is very quick to be doing new training programs, because, you know, at the end of the day, if you really think about it, the first week is always kind of just you finding your feet with how to do the exercises, especially if you've never really done any of them before. You're trying to figure out how much weight you can lift, especially if, again, you haven't done it for a while or you've never done it before. And then that just leaves you three more weeks to make progress. And 3 weeks is quite fast, because if, think about it like this, if you're always changing up your workouts as well, how is muscle gain and improvements going to happen, or strength gain? It's going to happen on the back of you progressively overloading your exercises. But you're going to have a hard time progressively overloading exercises if you're always switching things up. So I would say give workout plans at least a good 6 weeks, 6 to 10 weeks. And I think that's like kind of a sweet spot to just make very solid progress on a workout program. So that's something for you to consider. On that note, if you want a free workout plan, I do have one that you can grab via the link that I'm going to put in the show notes of this podcast episode. So if you want a free workout plan, you can grab that. It'll take you to my website. And from my website, you can grab a free workout plan. It's a full body workout, which I'm doing full body workouts right now. So if you've never tried full body workouts before, definitely consider it. Anyway, question number two, would you change out exercises every so often? So reintroduce barbell squats after 6 to 8 cycles of this routine, or change barbell Romanian deadlift for maybe a dumbbell Romanian deadlift? So I can see where this person is coming from. So like, do you have to, and just to rephrase it in case you didn't totally understand the question, do you have to change out specific exercises for an exercise that's similar to it, so the same movement pattern, so one hip hinge variation for another hip hinge, or one squat variation for another squat variation? And you don't have to, but you potentially could. And I guess it kind of depends what your goal, and I'm going to speak more so from just like a general muscle gain, strength gain perspective, like not powerlifting or anything along those lines, because that's not my forte. I don't make content around that. I speak to you about, you know, generally gaining muscle, gaining strength. And you could, again, it's going to depend on a few factors. And I feel like the answer that I'm going to give here is going to link quite a lot to the previous question. Again, it goes back to how well are you progressing at it? Enjoyment. Are you getting much enjoyment out of it? Because one thing I would say is you're not going to really get too much out of an exercise. Like, eventually there's going to come a time where progress really starts to slow down on it. You know, if you've been doing barbell squats for maybe like a year straight, it could potentially be time to switch it up for something else. Because one thing you have to remember as well is, because obviously not only is the amount of progress that you make within a specific exercise going to slow down over time, but muscle gain is also going to come back. I don't know what I was about to say there. Muscle gain, let me rephrase that, is also going to come on the back of novelty. So a new stimulus. And again, like I said in the previous question, there's a fine line to that. So it's not like something new every single week, but if you do like a new squat variation, maybe every 10 weeks, then that could result in some sort of novelty, which is therefore going to result in some sort of muscle gain. So that's something for you to potentially consider. If you've never really done an exercise before, then you might find you could gain a good amount of strength and muscle from it. And I actually have a personal example with this. I used to do a lot of barbell squats in my first few years of working out. In fact, it was probably like the only squat variation I ever did. And then one day, I think my old coach, when I was a teenager, programmed, or like my early 20s, I should say, he programmed goblet squats for me. So I didn't do barbell squats. I did goblet squats for a while. And my legs blew up. Like, I had so much muscle gain in my legs that I thought it was insane. And for a while I was like, yeah, goblet squats are like the best thing since sliced bread. You got to be doing them. And I was putting so much emphasis on goblet squats and how great they were. And even though they're a good exercise and one you could definitely consider if you've never really done them before, it wasn't so much the fact that goblet squats were amazing. It was more the fact that I'd never really done them before. It was a novel stimulus. I'd been doing barbell squats for so long that my body had just grown used to it. And then, surprise, suddenly I gave it a completely new stimulus that it just like grew very well, my legs. So yeah, that's just something for you to think about, that personal example there. Anyway, on to the next question. What is your advice on exercise placement? For example, free weights to be done before machines, and also compound lifts to be done at the beginning of a workout. So as you can see, the majority of the questions throughout this podcast episode are more like training related, which I'm okay with. Now, let's think about it like this. As usual, and as you're going to notice that I've from the way I've answered the previous questions, and you're going to find a lot of questions are answered like this in the fitness industry, is it kind of depends. There's no like straight hard answer. And I think if anyone gives you a one-way answer, like, okay, yes, it has to be like this, and that's the only way, like, they either don't know what they're talking about, or they're kind of like misleading you. It depends on a few factors. Generally speaking, what I'm going to say is free weights should be done before machines. And generally speaking, compound lifts should be done at the beginning of a workout before isolation exercises. Although, where are the exceptions when it comes to these? Now, the exceptions could be, maybe let's say it's a muscle group. There's a muscle group that you want to prioritize over other muscles, because maybe you're struggling to grow it and you're struggling to make progress within those specific exercises. Let's say your arms. You want to start progressing your arm exercises more. So therefore, you obviously want to prioritize maybe bicep and tricep exercises more. And obviously, a lot of bicep and tricep exercises are going to be isolation exercises. That means that, therefore, it could be a good idea for you to potentially start doing your bicep and triceps exercises at the beginning of your workouts before your compound lifts, because now they're your biggest priority. So, like I said, even though compound lifts, generally speaking, you would do well to do them at the beginning of the workout. And that is how I would probably approach 90% of or 95% of the workouts I program. There is always going to be exceptions, just like the one I mentioned. Or with machines, generally speaking, again, you want to prioritize free weights at the beginning of the workout, because free weights are more challenging. They require more stability, and it's not going to be the best idea to do loads of machine exercises beforehand and then finish with free weights, because again, free weights, there's more of a risk element to it. And if you go into them when you're maybe more tired, more exhausted at the end of your workout, you're more likely to get injured. So you have to think about things like that. But for example, sometimes I like to do a seated hamstring curl first thing at the beginning of my leg workouts, because I just find it warms up my legs quite well, and I feel a lot better going into the rest of my free weight exercises when I start off with a lying hamstring curl machine. And when I go into squats from after lying hamstring curls, I just feel better for it. And that's just something that's come on the back of, I guess, me working out for years, trial and error, experimenting with different things. So again, there's going to be exceptions from person to person as well. And those are just a few things to think about. But yes, generally speaking, free weights before machines within a workout and compound lifts before isolation exercises. Now, onto the next question. Should I get creatine monohydrate if I'm just starting out? So let's say you're at the beginning of your fitness journey and you're wondering about which supplements you should and shouldn't get. And you're potentially looking at creatine monohydrate because you've seen loads or heard of loads of good things about it. And now you're wondering whether or not you should get it. So this is a question I was asked to me. And I was kind of like just giving you the context because I know the context around the individual. So what I would say is, first of all, supplements, they're only going to account for like 1 or 2% of your overall progress. You know, if you're sleeping like rubbish, you're very inconsistent with your workouts, you're barely consuming any protein, you're barely walking, like those are your big rocks that you want to focus on first, because they are what are going to make up the huge majority of your progress. You know, if you're neglecting all of those, and then you could take all the supplements in the world, but if you're neglecting the factors that I just mentioned, you're not going to make progress. And that's just the harsh reality of it. Now, let's say those things are in place and you are doing quite well with a lot of those factors, then yes, supplements could be potentially something you look at. Now, what I would say is, if you're just starting out and you're brand new to being consistent with resistance training, you're brand new to following a solid workout program for the first time, I wouldn't worry about creatine monohydrate. Now, there's nothing negative that would come out of you supplementing with creatine monohydrate. And in fact, it could only be a good thing. But like I said, because you're so new to working out and following a good training program, you are going to make so much improvements just because it's going to be such a novel stimulus. You've gone from doing nothing to doing something. And when that's the case, when, let's say, again, you've just not gone to the gym for a long time and you start resistance training, progressively overloading, having, you know, a decent amount of intensity, just following a good workout program, you're just going to make so much progress within your first 6 months. You've maybe heard of the term newbie gains. That's exactly where it comes from, because like I said, anyone who's maybe gone to the gym for the first time ever, first workout program, they're just going to make a tremendous amount of progress. And in fact, like just ride the wave for that, with that, as long as possible. Don't worry about like creatine, etc. Like, don't even just go to the gym, be consistent. And that's what I will say. And then maybe after 6, 7, 8 months, once you've been consistent for a while, and then you feel like, you know what, let me start supplementing and bringing in these other things, then yeah, it could be a good idea to potentially start supplementing with creatine then. But for now, I just would say it's unnecessary money spent, because you're going to make tremendous progress without it anyway. And that's just basically the answer that I could have probably said to summarize it, rather than going on that entire tangent. The only supplement that I would say could be a good idea from day one would be like some sort of protein powder, because many people, potentially yourself included, and this is something I notice with a lot of like brand new Kairos Online members when they start with me, is that their protein intake is just really low. They're slacking in protein. And, you know, maybe they've tried a few things to increase it, and maybe they have increased it, but it's still not in an ideal place. Getting a protein powder could be an easy way to just get your protein intake at a good place. So that's probably the only one I would recommend. Anything else after that is kind of like a bonus. So I would just like hold off on the rest for at least the first few months of you being consistent. Anyway, final question. What should I do if I can't control my nutrition for an entire day? And I also know the context behind this person asking this. Basically, they've started their fitness journey. They've been very consistent with their nutrition for a while now. I would say maybe just under a month. And are they getting quite worried? And this is probably something that you can relate to. Maybe you've been through this at some point. They're getting quite worried because they've got, I think it's a wedding for the entire day, and they're obviously going to have no control over their nutrition during that time. What I'm going to say to that is, just don't worry about it. It's just one day. You've been super consistent up until now. And one day of just you not hitting your nutrition goals as well as you would like, or as perfectly as you'd like, it's not going to make a difference, because at the end of the day, it always comes down to what you do most consistently. Like, we could even flip this question in the reverse. Like, what would happen, let's say, I could rephrase the question in a way like I would say, what would happen if for one entire day I just ate very healthy, high protein intake, good amount of fruit and vegetable intake, but the rest of the time, eating Uber Eats for my breakfast, lunch and dinner. Like nothing, because it always comes down to what you do most consistently. And even though that was a bit of an extreme example, you do see where I'm coming from. So again, it's always going to come down to what you do most consistently. And that's just the most important factor that trumps anything and everything else. So I wouldn't worry about it. And what you really should be focusing on is enjoying the day, making good memories with your friends and family. And I know in the moment it can feel like kind of nerve wracking because, again, you've been so consistent for a while. And usually this question gets asked from a place of fear where they're so worried that they're going to maybe, quote unquote, undo all their progress and all the hard work they've made up and done up until now. But again, it doesn't work like that. So luckily for you and me is... you're just not going to lose progress that quickly. You'll be fine. What I would say, and that could potentially be a good place for you to focus on, is like maybe just a few goals for things that you could include within the specific day rather than what you could exclude. So on that specific day, you could potentially look at least eating one salad, at least consuming two pieces of fruits, and drinking three bottles of water. And then as long as you hit that, because those are things you should be doing anyway, let's face it. And as long as you hit that, then you're going to be in a good place for the day. And then anything else, it kind of is what it is. You know, I'm not saying go all out and eat everything and anything in sight. But like, yeah, just, you know, mentally use that day as a break as well. And just most importantly, enjoy the day with your friends and families, because that's what is most ultimate. That's just ultimately what that day is about. You know, it's a wedding, so it should be there to be celebrated. And then, you know, the next day, once it's over, just get back to doing what you were doing before. You'll be good. Anyway, that's it for today's podcast episode. Again, apologies for taking a little hiatus from it, but I'm back now. I'm going to come back to releasing podcast episodes on average every 5 days for the foreseeable future. I will see how I'll navigate the podcast while I am in England. Although my plan is to like pre-record a bunch of podcast episodes so I can release whilst I'm out there. Otherwise, you know, any questions on the back of this, just, you know, send them over on social media. And otherwise, take care. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you around. That wraps it up for another episode of the Leo Alves podcast. I do hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. If you did, then please do consider sharing it with your friends, family, group chat, or even anyone else who you know could be interested in listening to that episode. Otherwise, if you haven't already, then please do leave a 5-star review on whichever platform you are listening to this on. And remember, all the relevant links, such as the inquiry form to potentially become a Kairos Online member, my social media handles, a free fat loss guide, and a free workout plan are all also found in the show notes of this podcast episode as well. Otherwise, take care, and I'll see you around.